Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster. And let's begin by giving thanks that it is a little bit cooler outside this morning than it has been. Slightly. I have a few announcements, but I just want to check and see if there are any other announcements this morning. It does not look like it. Okay. So after the service this morning, we will be having lemonade out this door. Instead of being in the Great Hall, we're going to take advantage of the breeze while it is there. Also, Michael gets back tomorrow. I'm very excited. You all are supposed to pretend that it doesn't matter to you. But I'm very excited. He'll be back tomorrow after a month of vacation, so that will be good. And my last announcement is a sad one. Many of you know that we have been praying for Terry McSpadden for a long time. And unfortunately, Terry died this week. I understand from the London Free Press obit that his celebration of life will be this Thursday, July 16th at 2 p.m. at the Civic Gardens, and that information is available in the London Free Press. Let's take a moment to prepare ourselves to worship. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come, see you face to face, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Your word is a lantern to my feet and a light upon my path. I have sworn and am determined to keep your righteous judgments. I am deeply troubled. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing tribute of my lips, and teach me your judgments. My life is always in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I have not strayed from your commandments. Your decrees are my inheritance forever. Truly, they are the joy of my heart. I have applied my heart to fulfill your statutes, forever and to the end.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Parables resist a single interpretation. That's what we always say, right? That the beauty of parables lies in their ambiguity and their flexibility. Their resistance to a one-to-one interpretation. But not this parable, apparently. Now, in today's parable, not only does Jesus interpret it for us, but Jesus also names it. The seeds are the word of the kingdom, the teaching, the signs, the miracles of Jesus. Everything that Jesus is and does, which embody God's love and God's justice. The soil is the world, or the people in the world, and the different kinds of soil represent different reactions that people have to God's word. But then, instead of calling this the parable of the soil, Jesus tells us that this is the parable of the sower. So I think we would be wise to consider both the soil and the sower together. Jesus' words about the soil make clear that some people will not, or perhaps cannot, receive God's word. They remind us that there has always been opposition to God's work in the world. There have always been people who have seen the work of Jesus, the healings, the promise of judgment and justice, the call to share with one another as a threat. And when we notice that 3/4 of the soil does not bear fruit, it highlights just how rare it is for God's word to take root in our hearts. But that is probably not where our reflection on the soil should end. Because, you know, soil doesn't change itself. Soil is the way that it is because of what has been planted there before, how it has been watered and weeded. Soil becomes fertile when it is tended and cared for. And it becomes compact and rocky and thorn-filled when it is neglected and stepped on a few too many times. And while we certainly have more agency, more power to direct our lives than soil, the same can certainly be said of us. So there may be something here for us to reflect on, especially when we consider the actions of the sower. Because the sower is not behaving the way I would have expected. It seems odd that the sower would treat the seeds so casually. And I'm not surprised at all to hear that so much of the seed that landed on soil that was not ready for planting never grew. And so I want to ask, why not at least aim for the good soil? Why not let those rocky, thorny patches be? And God responds by continuing to sow with abandon, sowing where it is obvious to me that the seed will not take root, sowing as though the sower has an abundance of seeds. This is odd. And I would think that it would have seemed very odd to the farmers of Jesus' day, who faced far more obstacles to a good harvest than just poor soil. So I think Jesus' words have a great deal to say to us today, as our world seems to be getting a little harder and we encounter a few more thorns. I think this parable might well speak to God's church as we all seek to understand the decline that we see, just as the world seems more in need of the gospel than ever, inviting us into a place of compassion and empathy for those who cannot hear God's word, and perhaps a place of gratitude for the faith that we hold dear. Perhaps this parable is inviting us to be a little more intentional about how we live, because we know that our actions, our words, can affect how God's word takes root in others. And I think this parable might have something profound to say as we accept that our resources are finite, and we all put our energies into projects and may not see the return on investment that we might like. But this parable does not come with words of shame or condemnation. They don't come with words of caution against being bad soil. This parable comes to us filling us with words of hope, a reminder that God's love is not limited, that God's word does not run out, a reminder that when it feels like the seeds that we are busy sowing don't grow, that does not mean that God's work on earth has failed. Just the opposite, in fact. Because the seeds that do grow, the love that is shared, is more than enough to justify keeping the whole field. Amen. Please stand as you are able. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please assume a posture of prayer.
The response to the prayers of the people, I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. God of wisdom and understanding, be with your church as we seek to understand your purpose and will. Nurture and tend all new to faith. By your Holy Spirit, bring fruition to the seed of your word. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. God of endurance and reliability, be with your world obsessed by many cares and short-term gains. Renew the face of the earth. By your Holy Spirit, inspire all people to sustainable living. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
I will glorify your name forever.
God of seed time and harvest, be with all who tend and manage the land, for food to nourish and spaces for recreation. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to share the fruits of the field in their seasons. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
I will glorify your name forever.
God of hope and consolation, deal tenderly with all for whom life is full of struggle. Give them strength and patience in their sufferings. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to rejoice in your presence. We think today especially of Kate, Beverly, Melanie and Elizabeth, Cheryl, Sally, Peter, Charles and family, Brian and Mary. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
I will glorify your name forever.
God of life and peace, you set your creation in motion. Bring to fulfillment the purpose you set for each one of us. This morning, we give thanks for the life of Terry. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to dwell with you forever. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
To the front. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Father, your word creates in us a yearning for your kingdom. Receive all we offer you this day and keep us in your peace for the sake of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Living God, in this sacrament we have shared in your eternal kingdom. May we who taste this mystery forever serve you in faith, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.